The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 47 of the Making It Matter podcast series, It Being a Father with Cystic Fibrosis.
Hi everyone, Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I and our guest actually all have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to all of them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. All right, so today we are going to have a father on the Making It Matter podcast program. We've had mothers before, so today we're going into a little bit new territory. We have John Whitbread from Pennsylvania. He's 36 with CF on the podcast today. And he has three kids, 8-year-old twins, and a 3-year-old boy. John, why don't you say hi and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, everybody. Like Gunnar just said, yes, I have three boys. I have twin 8-year-old boys, James and John. And then we have a 3-year-old boy named Evan. And they are the absolute joy of our lives. Been married to my wife for 12 or 13 years. She's probably going to kill me because I don't know specifically how many years, but it's been a while now. And just happy and blessed to have such a great family. Everyone's healthy and doing well. And, you know, I have three kids. I'm able to work full time. So everything is going smoothly.
All right, so let's first talk about your life with CF, then we'll go into the parenting part of this. Sure. You know, how have you been so successful with cystic fibrosis? You're 36 years old, you're working full-time, and you're a father. So obviously, you've gotten to where you are with some degree of success. You know, how have you done that?
Well, it's funny. A lot of it has to do with routine. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I accredited a lot of that to playing a lot of sports. I played a lot of sports growing up the whole way through college. And then once I got out of school, you know, having great family support with my wife, we got married right out of college. She supports, you know, obviously, everything that I need to do to keep myself healthy and, working out a lot. I feel like if you stay active, your lungs tend to stay clear. So I, you know, at least 5 days a week, I'm up running or lifting weights or something in the morning, before I go to work. So I'll run 2 or 3 miles a day, which doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of you runners out there, but to cystic fibrosis, it's you know, pretty good. And then lift weights and just try to stay fit and healthy and eat well and eat a lot and just stay busy, you know, focus on the positive.
Yeah. We talk a lot about physical fitness. Was it always that way for you, or was there a point in your life where you incorporated it more?
Well, it's actually funny. I've been pretty active. I played sports, you know, from 5 years old up until I graduated from Penn State at 24. But yeah, I mean, being active has always been a big part of what I do. But there, you know, there was a time when my lung function was decreasing pretty steadily. And I had a conversation with one of my doctors, and he looked at me right in the eye and said, John, I think it's time we start talking about the possibility of a lung transplant. And that really, really set me back because I had two kids at the time. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm in my, you know, late 20s, early 30s with a couple of kids. And, you know, the doctor's talking to me about a lung transplant. And that really scared me. So I was kind of loafing around for a couple of years before that. And I finally said, all right, I went through one sleepless night. And I remember I was thinking of ways to improve my lung function. And I was on my bike at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, riding around the neighborhood trying to clear my lungs. And then, it kind of went from there and said, all right, you need to take control of your life now and start getting active again. And when I did, my lung functions went up. They went up significantly, and they've stayed pretty stable over the last – the kids are eight, so over the last 7, 8 years. So,
wow, that's pretty impressive. Now, did you play sport in college?
I did. I boxed for Penn State, all 4 years at Penn State, yeah.
So let's not underscore that. You actually you did compete at Division I sport in college. That's pretty impressive. With
well, it's actually – it's technically a club sport. Okay. Because the NCAA dropped boxing. They said it was too violent, but that's that's for another story, but in the 70s is when they dropped it. But yeah, I did a sport in college, correct.
I mean, you still, you got your ass kicked, and you kicked other people's asses for a couple of years. That, I mean, let's not downplay that. So that's pretty cool. I think you're certainly a testament to, you know, what physical fitness and athletics can do for somebody with cystic fibrosis or anyone with a respiratory illness, because
sure.
You know, you're obviously forcing air out and bringing more air into the lungs, and you've obviously seen some major improvements in your health since then. But now I sort of want to talk about the fatherhood aspect of cystic fibrosis. As we talked
about,
that's
the interesting part.
As we've talked about a little bit before we came on camera, I recently found out that male infertility is actually one of the more common symptoms of cystic fibrosis. You know, some people have significant respiratory issues, some people have digestive sure. issues, but almost all men with cystic fibrosis do have some degree of infertility. So there is, you know, there is definitely some work that needs to be done in that sort of area. So what was that process like, you know, the conversations that you had with your wife, your medical team about starting a family?
Well, it's actually funny. I have dated my wife. You know, she's crazy. She's been with me since I was in 10th or 11th grade of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she's familiar with CF. She knows all about it. And, you know, getting married, she knew that this could be an issue. When we got married, before we got married, she was tested, and she's not a gene carrier. So we had that going for us, which was nice. I question her mental stability marrying someone like me with CF, but, you know, it's worked out pretty well. So she had the genetic testing, and she knew that infertility on my end was a great possibility. So what we did first is I actually, you know, when we decided, okay, we've been married 4 or 5 years now, and you know, maybe we should start looking at starting a family, I actually went to a fertility doctor and got myself tested first, and obviously that came back negative, that I was not able to have children naturally. So we knew what we were getting into. So once we knew for sure that we would have to go another route, she was okay with it. She wanted to have children, and we talked about adoption. We talked about a lot of things, but ultimately we went with in vitro. It's an expensive process, but you know, obviously it's worked out well for us.
So, you know, how long did the IVF process take from start to finish? From basically the first time? I think that's probably a pretty common question that comes up when people get into IVF, because there is probably a misconception out there that people sort of think about, you go to the doctor's appointment and then, you know, overnight it happens. But that's clearly not the case.
Well, being a male, I kind of got lucky because my part is very minimal. I supply the sperm, she supplies everything else. So being a male, really, what happened to me is I don't have a vas deferens, so I can't get sperm out. It feels funny to talk about that, but so basically what they have to do is extract it with a needle.
Oh, God.
Which is, oh man, it's painful. It's painful, and I found the hard way, you don't try to make jokes with doctors and nurses when they're trying to extract.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it never turns out well. But so my part was minimal. So the first thing they do is extract the sperm from you, but they have to get your the female up and ready to you know, not only have the eggs harvested, have them fertilized, and then carry, and hopefully go through with a full pregnancy. So the full process takes, oh geez, I would say probably about a month, month and a half. And then they implant the eggs, and you're still waiting a couple of weeks to know if your significant other is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's probably a 2-month process, and it's a lot of hoping, wishing, and praying in those 2 months as well.
So now, aside from the IVF part of it, there's obviously some CF aspect. You know, obviously we take a lot of medications, and some of those medications can or cannot impact a pregnancy or even the male, you know, the male viability of the sperm. So, you know, what sort of conversations did you have with your doctor, A, about starting a family and some of the things that you'd have to, you know, deal with in your life as far as that goes, but also, you know, the safety of the pregnancy?
Well, as far as safety of the pregnancy, I really didn't have any issues. I don't think I was on any medication that would have really affected that, because no one had that conversation with me,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. I didn't realize that some medications could do that. But, you know, like I said, my part was when you're the male with CF, your part's pretty minimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little painful, but it's minimal.
I can't even imagine that part. So now that you're, you know, you are a father, and, you know, looking back at that point in time, you know, how would you say you're able to balance You know, your life as a dad plus your working life, and then your also life as a CF patient.
We are an extremely busy family of five right now. My twin 8-year-olds play baseball. I'm the head coach of their travel tournament baseball team. So, you know, we have a tournament starting tonight, and we're participating in tournaments all over Pennsylvania every weekend. So that's fun. And then they wrestle pretty much 8 months a year too. So we're traveling to tournaments for that too. You know, balance, I tell everybody the big way to stay healthy is to find a routine. You know, it's very hard. You know, we take the same medication every day, generally. We do our therapy the same time, same place every day. And I feel like finding a routine is what keeps you healthy. You know, I wake up generally the same time every morning, depending on where I'm traveling that day, and I work out. Same routine every day. I do my inhaled medicine same time every day. It becomes boring, but it becomes a routine. And as long as you don't find an excuse to skip that routine, I think you're going to be a lot healthier. I think half of the battle with staying healthy with cystic fibrosis is finding that balance and finding that routine.
Certainly. So, yeah. There's something to be said for making it habitual. It's like brushing your teeth.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, you know, late high school, you know, when everybody just wants to fit in, you know, everybody just wants to be one of the crowd and wants to fit in and hang out with people, I skipped a lot of my medicine, and probably late high school was my least healthy part of my life. You know, just trying to fit in. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to take my medication in front of people. And, you know, once you finally put that behind you and realize that, you know, you are different and that's okay. I think that when you can get that routine and not really care what people think, I think that's when you're going to find that you're going to be your healthiest.
Yeah, we both went through that same learning curve. Mine was in college, and I took a fall from it too. So it's definitely a learning process.
Yeah. But
we talk a lot about support systems too, and how important they are. Like, I'm sure with fatherhood, a full-time career, and balancing CF, you rely on a support system of sorts. Can you talk about what
Absolutely.
Your support system looks like?
So I think, you know, with every child we have, as you get older, your lung function does decrease. And sometimes I say to my wife, I think she's trying to kill me with every kid that we have. But, you know, the support system, when you wake up and you look at these little 8-year-olds and this little 3-year-old that you now have to be responsible for these beings. It really pushes you to these beings, these little creatures that are climbing the wall and running everywhere and you know, you're now responsible for them. And that pushes you to stay as healthy as you possibly can. You know, you've got a mortgage to pay, you've got a job, but ultimately you're doing all of those things for your children. It's funny how life and even people without cystic fibrosis, I think, will say this. It's funny how life changes when you have children. It's no longer about you. It's about them. You know, so my wife is a great support system. My parents are great. My wife's parents are great. You know, it takes a team, but ultimately the responsibility falls on yourself. Right. It's your, you know, you're an adult now. It's your choice if you do that medicine. It's your choice if you get your butt out of bed and work out. You know, it's your choice to stay healthy. They can't make that choice for you. So did I have help making that choice? Absolutely. Do I have a reason to make that choice? I've got 3 or 4 of them inside. Absolutely. But it's still ultimately your choice. You need to take responsibility for your health.
Yeah. Now, to that point with the support system, you know, obviously your kids have played a huge role in that, not only serving as a motivating factor, but also, you know, in a lot of ways, your livelihood. You know, so what have you started to teach them about cystic fibrosis?
You know, it's funny. When they were younger, they really couldn't say cystic fibrosis. You ever try to get a 2-year-old to say that? It's really funny. You know, I don't want to say I hide it from them. They know daddy does medicine. They know daddy works out. They know daddy has cystic fibrosis, but they don't know a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really feel I need to burden 8-year-olds with that quite yet. They'll figure it out eventually, but we don't really talk about it. You know, we do the Great Strides Walk every year, and they know that's to raise money for cystic fibrosis. We do some other fundraising things, but ultimately they don't ask a lot of questions. They don't ask. They've grown up around this, so they don't know that dad's that different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from anybody else.
You're the first guest we have on that has children of age that would kind of be cognizant of it. I was going to ask the same thing. Like, do you do your treatments in your bedroom, or I'm sure they've probably
seen
you.
I do them right in the family room, and we watch TV together. you know.
It's sort of like the inverse of the way we did it as kids. Like when I remember looking back when I was a little kid, I always did my treatments right in, you know, the TV room around my friends and parents. But now you're the parent doing it in front of your kids. It's very kind of a strange thing to grasp, simply because for the first time in really modern history, cystic fibrosis really isn't a childhood disease here.
It's actually funny you should say that. I go to UPMC in Pittsburgh, a phenomenal facility, and it's pretty cool now to see that their adult program has more people in it than their pediatric program.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we're making some, for lack of better words, great strides.
Yeah, I do think that, people throw around I've talked about it at length. They throw around the life expectancy and things like that. And I think it's just an idiotic way of looking at things. The way that I do like to look at it now is that there's more people over the age of 18 than there are under the age of 18 living with cystic fibrosis. And I think that's something that is not only a marker of success in how far we've come with research and medication and things like that, but it's also a testament to older patients and how much they've done to raise money to support the fight against cystic fibrosis and ultimately power forward into the future of the disease.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So now, I do want to go back to the routine. Can you take us through like a typical day that you've lived through?
So a typical day, I'm in sales. I travel for work. So what I will do is, depending on where I have to go in Pennsylvania that day, I'll wake up anywhere from 4 to 6 a.m. and either jump on the train, depending on, Pennsylvania weather. You got to love it here, man. It can be 85 and sunny one day and 52 the next day. So, but depending on the weather, I went out, I got a treadmill, so I'll jump on the treadmill and watch TV while I'm doing a half hour, 40, 45 minutes on the treadmill. If the weather's nice, I prefer to run outside. But so I'll wake up. I try to run Monday, Wednesday, Friday, occasionally Sunday or Saturday. And then I'll lift weights Tuesday, Thursday with a little bit of cardio in there as well. So I'm trying to work out 5 to 6 days a week. So I get up. I do that. I work out. I run up. I grab a shower, get everything ready, grab a quick breakfast, and I'm off to work. Come home, and kids usually have activities. So grab a quick dinner, whether it's in the car or at home here, and off to whether it's wrestling or baseball, off to that, and then come home. The kids are fairly young, so we put them to bed around 8:30. We're a stickler for that because we need our sanity and our own time. So we try to get them to bed around 8:30, and then I'll fire up the inhaled medicine from 8:30 till, depending on my rotation, till 10 o'clock at night. My wife still enjoys to do chest PT. I don't do the best. I think she likes to hit me a lot. So we do chest PT at night, and then it's off to bed between 10:30 and 11, and wake up and do it again the next day.
Now, do you feel like there's never like there are days when there just isn't enough time in the day?
Absolutely. A lot of times I'm sacrificing sleep for medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have that. And some days, if I don't have to travel that far or at all, I sleep a little later. But ultimately, the wake up routine and the go to bed routine are the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty lame. Our Friday nights are generally the same as our Tuesday nights. So,
I mean, it sounds like there certainly are a bunch of sacrifices that have to be made when there's a family. I think, obviously I'm not there quite yet, but I do think that, as you get older in life, there are different challenges that you face with cystic fibrosis. We've always said that, when you're in grade school and high school, the day is very regimented around school, athletics, whatever. Then you get to college, you have to figure out how to, fill your free time. Then you graduate college, and all of a sudden it's like being in college, but you're making money. And then now that you're, you're in your late 20s, it's your late 20s, early 30s, then things start to really come back down to earth where you're in family mode.
It's all about life transitions, and handling those transitions well, having cystic fibrosis. So
clearly you've done so.
So far. Yeah, we've done fairly well. So
now I do want to go back to the IVF real quick. So now you there've been two instances where you've had kids. You had 8-year-old twins the first time around, and you said they're fraternal twins.
They are. They look completely different. I think I sent you a couple pictures. It's unbelievable how different they look. Mm-hmm. One looks exactly like my wife. One looks like me. So.
Mm-hmm. And then you had a 3-year-old boy. Oh, now you have a 3-year-old boy, but you did it 5 years later. Did you have to go through the IVF process again, or
yeah,
was it all sort
we'll
of?
We'll go over that. So our first, if you're not familiar with IVF, they harvest eggs from the female.
Mm-hmm.
And our first round of IVF, we had 3 fertilized eggs. So we actually had 3 eggs to deal with, and we implanted 2 eggs, and we had twins, and we had that third egg out there. And we tried that third egg. It was frozen. It had to be thawed. And it didn't take. She actually miscarried on that third one. And I, you know, I was okay having two kids, and she wanted more, and that's fine. So we went through the whole process again.
Okay.
And ended up with three eggs again. And we only implanted one last time, and we have our little three-year-old Evan. So we still have two frozen eggs, actually, you know, in storage, fertilized. You know, all they need to be is implanted and ready to grow into little people. So, you know, we're fighting that moral dilemma right now of what to do with two fertilized eggs. You know, depending on where your stance is with all that, it's tricky. You know, we have three kids already. We're blessed to have three healthy children already. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at what point do you push that limit of saying one or two more? You know, I don't want to say are we being greedy but then again, you know, the options are to donate those eggs to people that can have children. So then you're looking at the possibility of someone having your DNA and your wife's DNA, your kid that you've never met. Mm-hmm. So that's difficult for us. Or you can dispose of them, which is kind of difficult for us as well, because they're fertilized. I mean, they're children ready to just be, you know, to grow. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not to get serious, we're kind of in that moral dilemma right now of, hey, we've got three kids. We've still got two frozen eggs. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. You know, I will caution people out there with CF, you know, be careful, because, you know, if you are healthy enough and everything's going well, you can run into dilemmas like that. And what do you do? Mm-hmm. So you've got to be prepared for that. And we weren't. So we're trying to figure out now what to do with these eggs. I mean, you know, 35, 36 cystic fibrosis. Do we want, you know, the possibility of one or two more kids? Maybe. Maybe not, but you know, we're trying to figure out what to do with these eggs right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think it's a fantastic science the way that it's come this whole way, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with things that, you know, are, I don't want to say unintended consequences, but it's just things that, you know, you never even considered even to happen. It's just, you know, that you have the blessing of how far the science has come, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're all of a sudden stuck in this sort of weird ethical situation. And
it's where ethics meets science. You're not really sure what to do here.
Uh-huh. And you're sort of on the cutting edge yourself in that moment. Right. And, you know, it's hard as someone not going through to second guess somebody who is. So, it's totally, you know, it's just in a realm of its own in a lot of ways.
You know, I will leave you with this as far as that goes. I talked to another gentleman who has to go through IVF, mm-hmm. and he said that you never regret the children that you had. So, you know, take that for what it is. I'm not sure what we're going to do at this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's going to be a difficult decision. I'm just not really sure what to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a fantastic piece of advice that you've gotten. And to that point, you know, to somebody that, you know, an older male that with cystic fibrosis, or, you know, a family that may have CF, you know, husband and wife, what would you say to them about starting a family and, you know, as far as, you know, making sure that your health stays, also, you know, a priority, but also, you know, family building has to become the priority. Where do you see the, you know, those two you know, facts of life interlocking, and where, you know, what do you say to someone in that situation?
The first thing I would say is make sure you're mentally and physically ready to have children. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my lung function possibly was never worse than the first couple of weeks our kids were born. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not getting any sleep. You're trying to help your wife with feeding, and it's you know, your needs in that first couple of months are really put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. So your health does fade, but hopefully you can bounce back from it. You know, mentally, there's a lot of mental exhaustion there too. It's not just physical. I mean, there's a lot of kids are crazy. You know, there's a lot of things to take into account there. But you know, it's I've always come across the thought process: if it's meant to be, it'll be. And as long as you're physically able and you're mentally able, and you know, financially, you have to be able to support these children too. You know, it's not just it's not just let's have a kid. I think you have to be ready in many facets of your life to have children, not just one or two. So, I mean, if you feel you're ready to have children and you think you can support that child, and you know, I would say absolutely have at it. But you know, make sure your ducks are in a row before you do it. You know, IVF. If you have to go IVF, it's very expensive. You know, a lot of we got lucky with our first two that my wife's a school teacher. So she has pretty good insurance. It's state insurance through the state of Pennsylvania. And, you know, we were lucky that her first round when we had the twins was covered. We just had some out-of-pocket expenses. Now, the third child we had was not covered. So some family helped us out and some things like that. But, I mean, I think the one thing you do want to do is run through your insurance, too, because it can be upwards of $10,000 to $15,000 just to try.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, it's cost prohibitive for a lot of people, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, You've given us some great nuggets of wisdom. I'm sure you have some great general advice for anyone fighting CF and how you lead your life, clearly a testament and to the success in your life too. So what advice would you give a young CF fighter or anyone really fighting CF?
You know, the first thing I would say is don't be embarrassed of who you are. I think I would have 10 to 12% more lung capacity, lung function, if I wouldn't have cared and actually taken care of myself in those late high school years, like we talked about. You are who you are. I tell this to people that are in high school that don't even have CF. When you're in high school, guess what? When you're in your 30s, high school really doesn't matter. You know, it's really not that big of a deal. I know it seems like the end of the world when you're a junior and senior in high school, but it's really not, I promise you. So take care of yourself. You know, if you don't have a significant other, put yourself first. You know, and when you have someone you care about in your life, like your wife or your children, you know, take care of yourself for them. Set a routine. Get off the couch, get active. I think a lot of people with an illness like cystic fibrosis or whatever it is, you can take an approach mentally of either letting it beat you or you beat it. And at my point in my life, I refuse to let it beat me. So I've got way too much to live for. So I would say get your attitude right, get your focus right, get a routine, and, you know, really don't care about other people's opinions. You know, you've really got to live for you and your family and do what you need to do to stay healthy. You know, have a positive mindset.
Well, that's really awesome advice. Thanks again for joining us. This has been a fantastic episode. It really has been really insightful for me. I don't know about you, Julie, but, you know, I felt like this is definitely a big learning moment for me. But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the – what episode is the 47th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarEsiason.com or JulieRay.com. And you can also follow us on iTunes. If you do follow us on iTunes, you have to like, share, and review. That's very important. I don't know why it is, but it is. And if you follow us on Instagram, also like, share, and review. The Instagram handle is –
@makingitmatter_CF.
And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always get in touch with us, just like John did. John actually messaged me on Facebook, and then now, next thing you know, here he is on the podcast. You can send either of us an email at gunnersblog@esiason.org or Julia Ray an email at juliaray@juliaray.com. Yep, that's it. And I think that's it. John, thanks so much for being on the podcast
today.
Thanks
for having me. I appreciate it.
This is Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray signing off.
Bye, everyone.